Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Let's come back home, because RTE Group Head of Sport Declan McBennett has told the Eireachtas Media Committee that it's neither realistic nor feasible that all sport can be or will be free to air. He was speaking as RTE and the GAA appeared in front of the Eireachtas Media Committee today to discuss his further Fianna Fáil Senator Shane Castles and Independent TD Matty McGrath join me now. And there was an awful lot of anger, wasn't there? You're both very welcome to the programme, Matty and Shane. There was an awful lot of anger, Matty. Let me ask you first of all, in relation to major matches being behind a paywall. I suppose it's reflective of what constituents are telling you. But how did Declan McBennett, for example, answer that? He defended the practice, didn't he?
He defended it, saying it's not realistic or, you know, feasible to expect it to be changed or to have all games shown. But it's not realistic or feasible to introduce this system without any kind of consultation. And one of the biggest issues is the lack of broadband. As I reminded them today, they couldn't even keep Hawkeye going at Croke Park this year. So it's a simple thing in Dublin. There's many parts of the country who have desperately poor or no broadband. So it was just embarrassing and very frustrating for people who did pay and tried to watch it and couldn't see the game when the TVs were freezing.
Shane Castle, is it the concept that you would disagree with fundamentally, or is it the way it was brought in?
Good evening, Cormac. No, I think, you know, it was a really helpful engagement this afternoon with not just the GAA and not just RTÉ, but Virgin Media were there, TG Cahir and the IRFU and the FAI. So we were discussing not just the GAA, but indeed the commercial operations and the TV operations of all the major sporting bodies and all the major players. I think there was a load of helpful information given. We saw, for example, that the GAA makes 22% of their income off media rights, but the IRFU make 25%, and the FAI make 20%. And I suppose from the GAA's perspective, because that's obviously where a lot of the focus was, like, we got some insights into how much the GAA make from this particular transaction, that there's 4 million accrued in income from from GAA.
Let's stick to the questions. We know the context. We reported on this previously, but you are adding some detail which gives context without doubt for people who haven't listened. And the GAA say that 4 million euro is an important revenue stream for them. Can I ask you, does RTE get a profit, share the profit here?
Yeah, well, I asked Declan McBennett that question as well, because the GAA explained that there was two parts. There was the GAA's pays what is called a rights fee, so a basic, obviously, fee for them. But then there was a profit share scenario as well. I put that to Declan McBennett, and he was quite forthcoming. He said that any money that RTE makes from their side of it is actually put back in to actually expanding GAA coverage. So if there's any kind of profit from the RTE's point of view, they use that for the coverage of National Football and National Hurling League matches. So, for example, normally you would only see GAA matches during the Championship season. We now see National League games being covered by RTE as well, and they use that money to buy broadcasting rights outside of the normal deal they have with the GAA to expand their GAA season.
Does that not cause a difficulty then? Because Declan McBennett, he's a group head of sport in RTE. He's also a director of GAA Go, isn't that right?
Yeah.
That was a source of contention, Matty, at the committee.
Of course it was and is, and why wouldn't it? The whole construct of the GAA Go company, our partnership, is angering people as well, and it's even more questions and anger now when the debacle that's gone ongoing at RTE. So look, I mean, they're moving away from the grassroots, and I know all the other sporting organisations were there today, but the GAA is a long time in existence, huge grassroots, and do great work as they all do. And there's huge anger out there with this issue coming on top of...
How was the conflict of interest question answered?
Well, the conflict can't be answered because it's a direct
conflict
of interest.
It was rejected, I know. I know. He rejects
so
out
many,
of hand that there's any conflict.
Yeah, but sure, there's a clearing conflict of interest. If they're both going to get as funding from the GAA Go, and they're going to, obviously, they say they put it back into games and showing more games. But look, transparency is so important now here, and also the fact that, you know, people cannot access this. It's been an utter disaster.
So just on this now, for example, before we move away, you don't accept that there's no conflict of interest, Matty?
Clearly there's a conflict of interest. It's a company set up by officials and you know, office holders in both organisations.
Shane, You?
Yeah, well, just on that point in terms of transparency and Matty saying people can't access this, that was another question we asked in terms of actually how many people are watching this product. And we were told it's been 1.2 million viewers already. And if and 1.3, with average, yeah. We're 1.3. And, you know, the Kerry Tyrone match had 120,000 people watching it there 2 weeks ago. I went back and looked at some of the figures when the GA were doing a deal with Sky. They were averaging figures of 30 to 40,000. So, and that was on television for obviously... for their subscribers, but obviously in terms of people accessing it, people are obviously accessing it far greater numbers than when actually the GA were doing a deal with Sky. Well, I think actually a lot of people, and I've said this before on your show and on Morning Ireland before, there are people now in counties able to access games that were never shown before. We have a situation where we have a condensed GA season, and we were actually told as well there was one weekend in the early part of the championship where literally every county was in operation. Mm-hmm. Are we seriously proposing that we're just going to turn GAA or the RT over to a completely GA channel? No, we're not. During the course of the conversation this afternoon as well, the FAI said openly, and it's quite amazing that no other members were picking up on this, but I did, the FAI said openly, they're talking to Sky. They want to talk to Sky about broadcasting their own League of Ireland and talking what they called specialised sports people. Now, by the way, Sky were there themselves actually in the room, and
hang on a second. We'll come to that in just a second. But
well, it is an important point as well.
You know, I understand that. But people have a feeling, rightly or wrongly, that Gaelic Games are the national sport.
Yes.
And as a national public broadcaster, that RTE should have those games free to air. And this is a practice over the last number of years, be it Sky or now GAA Go, which essentially takes that away, Matty, your point, from the grassroots. But
yes.
Has the rationale been explained to you then today for the need for this?
Absolutely not explained. I mean, we had very limited time to ask questions, only 4 minutes each for answers as well. So that suited him. No, it wasn't. And the kind of an arrogant, kind of a dismissive role. This is happening. Okay, there's problems, but we're ploughing ahead with
but
it.
Don't personalise now. I mean, in a sense,
just on that point, just on that point, Cormac, and first of all, I wouldn't say that any of the witnesses were arrogant today. In fact, I thought they were quite transparent. And on the rationale aspect, I think the point was made. The GEA did look for other broadcast partners. They did look at Virgin Media, which is a free-to-air scenario, and they made the point openly that from the point of view when they approached them, that they didn't have what they termed the production capabilities to actually make sure that they were that they would come on board with that deal.
Sure, Virgin said
they were surprised, but they had been negotiations with the GAA up until the June of that year, and then when the Sky deal was, but at that point that the negotiations had stopped because they had indicated to the GAA that they weren't going to offer the same production values that RTE were going to offer, and that was a key point. I think
was
that Declan McBennett
any other broadcaster approached?
Well, this was the point that the GAA made as well. In terms of Peter McKenna, commercial director on behalf of the GAA, made the point that when you talk about what the GAA require in terms of technical deliverability, it was RTE who were able to do that. And if we're going to have a situation...
TG Carr doing it
and do a great
job.
Were
they approached?
And I think that's an important point.
Were they at the
point.
Committee as well? Were they approached?
They were at the committee as well. That actually wasn't broached with them as part of the committee. But they did actually... When you see about what TG Carr bring to the table, it's massive in terms of ladies football, minor football, under 21 and the National League. It's huge what they do as well.
And TG Carr made the point as well. TG Carr made the point that they have projects ready to go to expand their coverage of women's soccer and women's rugby, but they don't have the funding. The question has to be asked then if TG Carr as a broadcaster or any other broadcaster apart from Virgin were approached about this.
Well, look, Virgin said today, they kind of gave the impression they weren't, but clearly the GA said they were negotiating, that there was talks up to a certain point. But look, notwithstanding that, I'm calling on the GA here and RT to back out of this deal, because as I said, while numbers were watching the Kerry Tyrone match and all, that's great. We had some feast of hurling in Munster this year, and I'm not saying we should give it on to Munster, and people just couldn't see that game, and it was just the service stopping and freezing, and it was just diabolical. So
Aram, Matty, I mean, isn't that populist nonsense?
Were you not
listening to the rationale of the executives today? And they were very much in tune. What they said, with all the games that were provided, extra games, you cannot put them all free to air. It's costly.
But the major games like that, I'm just saying the service is not available. When there were people watching and it was freezing, that's not populist nonsense. That happened. There was huge frustration.
So explain them. So UNGA Go, where did the matches go?
Sorry, no, I'm saying end it. Go back to the drawing board, I'm saying. And like this night, people were contacting people abroad to give the scores in the matches because the situation froze.
What are you proposing, though? You want an end to GAA go, and what are you proposing then?
I'm proposing that the GAA give credence and respect to their members that they've had, and to the national game, and notwithstanding all the other sports.
What does that mean, though? Where do the games go?
Make hay slowly here. Bring the people with him. Not decide this. Take it or leave it. It's very expensive.
The fact of the matter here. This comes back to funding. Shane Castles. This comes back to funding. And the point fundamentally is being made here that if you want these matches, instead of complaining that the Meath match isn't free to air or that other matches aren't free to air, surely the government needs to fund the public service funding of these matches if you want them.
Another question, yes.
Yeah, well, first of all, Cormac, actually, the Meath match will be free to air this Saturday in the Tailteann Cup final, and that's actually a new departure by the GAA and RTÉ as well to show the secondary competitions live on RTÉ, and I welcome that the people from Meath and Down will be able to watch that match on Saturday. And I think we've had more GAA coverage than ever. And I think when we're talking about public service and public service broadcasting, that RTÉ do a fine job when it comes to actually broadcasting our national sports. I think we should accept that. And I know as a young fella growing up, you only saw the All-Ireland semi-finals in the final every year. We've now got a situation that in the last 5 years, GAA coverage in RTÉ has grown from 40 games a year to 68 games a year, and that isn't including TG Cahir as well.
That's okay, when Meath just been the All-Irelands and they were a good football team. But look, no, there's problems there with it.
You want to study there now being from Tipperary.
Stop swinging the hurl, Matty. I'm blowing the final whistle on this one.
Very good.
Independent TD, Matty McGrath. The whistle has been blown.
GAA as well is not acceptable.
Thank you very much. Well, that's an important point as well. We'll come back to that. Independent TD Matty McGrath of TIP and Fianna Fáil Senator Shane Castles of Cundinamí Gormagh.